moment we've been waiting for is here.
Previously on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right, I've got one word for you. Sammy Sosa.
That's two words.
Those of you that obviously follow baseball are familiar with the man. He's been retired for some time now. But there was a point not that long ago that he was one of the best home run hitters in the game of baseball. Mm-hmm. Huge star, primarily with the Cubs. And within the last, I don't know, maybe not fully 10 years, but 5-plus years, there's been a discussion about his ever-changing physical appearance. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar at all with what I'm talking about, you'd probably be like, what do you mean his changing appearance? Well, if you're not following us on Twitter or on Instagram, start now at Woody and Wilcox. I've posted a side-by-side-by-side photo. It's a triple photo, one showing him when he played for the Cubs, one showing him maybe 5 years ago, and then theoretically one that's showing him within the last few weeks. There's a picture that was posted of him posing in London, England. And I just don't, I mean, I'll cut to the chase. I think somebody's having fun with us. I think it's a hoax. I can't, when I look at those photos, I can't reconcile the fact that that's the same guy. It's that different. So if you've never seen any of these Sammy Sosa pictures, especially the new one, do yourself a favor and grab that. You won't find it anywhere else on the internet, of course. And it's also up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, too. But keep in mind, at Woody and Wilcox on Twitter and Instagram. You've seen it, right? I see the look on your face, Woody.
Yes.
It can't be the same guy. Just can't be. I feel like this is...
You think somebody is pretending to be Sammy Sosa?
Well, maybe that's happening, but in my mind, it's somebody taking a photo of somebody and just saying it's Sammy Sosa. You know, when you see when your buddies are out on the street and you go, mm-hmm. Hey, look at that. There's John Madden. And it's just, you know, it's a big guy who sort of has reddish hair and you go, what's John Madden doing here? That's what I feel like this is. Somebody goes, man, look at that. That's the new form of Sammy Sosa over there. It kind of looks, and this is the strangest reference maybe I've ever made, and that's saying something. Anybody remember the movie Arthur?
No.
Wow, yes, I do.
Forget the dude's name who was the butler on the movie Arthur, but he was an old white man, sort of thinning hair. That's what the new Sammy Sosa, we're being told, is. That guy. That's the only reference I could come up with off the top of my head.
John Gilgood. I think it's who you're thinking
No, not John Gielgud. I don't know the guy's name. It's a different guy. Maybe I'm thinking of the butler on Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. Mm. That butler. That's the guy. That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's not Gielgud. So now, if those of you who haven't seen the pictures, think of Sammy Sosa and then go, yeah, butler on Trading Places. That makes sense. White man.
There's just so many things that are different. It's not just that he's changed races totally, if this is the case. But his hands are lighter also, which seems like it would be difficult to do.
Now, and here's the weird part. Supposedly, and I guess this is legitimate, this part of it, he is upfront saying
that he uses skin.
That he uses some sort of cream. But I guess maybe there's proof of it out there somewhere of him saying this. This was on a Spanish language broadcast where he supposedly said, quote, I use bleaching cream. I apply it before going to bed and it whitens my skin some.
Some?
Which he doesn't know the meaning of some, if that's at all accurate, because he's white.
If you'd been consistent about it for 20 years, maybe it could do that. I don't know what's happening. The hair, the face, the skin tone, everything. It's just a different person.
Nope. That looks like Sammy Sosa to me.
Well, a lot of people have similar facial features and can look like someone else.
And just to be clear, I'm not passing a judgment on him doing it. If he is doing it, I'm not mad at him. I just cannot believe it. It's too different. I just feel like it's physically impossible. My eyes will not let me believe it. And I mentioned, by the way, that he looks like the butler from the movie from the 80s, Trading Places. And thanks again to those suggesting that, yes, that guy's name is Denham Elliott. We did a side-by-side, and I put that up. I tweeted it out at Woody and Wilcox of him and the butler from Trading Places. also put it up on Instagram. So if you're not following along at Woody and Wilcox on Instagram as well, you can see what I'm talking about. Now that you see that, right? It's not that far off, is it? Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes, thank you for your vote of confidence.
I'm struggling with it.
It's funny because people ringing in on Instagram are like, nope, that's it. You can see the distinct curve of his nose in both pictures, mm-hmm. the peak, the hairline. I am convinced. And then the next one goes, completely different nose. Can't be the same guy. So even some two different people looking at the exact same photo see completely different things. Although I appreciate the one on Instagram who says he looks like the bad guy from the first Wolverine movie, Danny Houston. Then somebody else says he looks like a young John Candy.
No.
I think that's really close.
Thanks to Anthony who sent me
Zach says he looks like a Dominican Jay Leno. A Dominican Jay Leno.
Anthony says, just took a look at the picture that you guys posted about Sammy Sosa. You're telling me that he just woke up one day and thought, wow, I want to look like Joe Pesci.
Well, you know what? It's not that far off.
It looks anything like Joe Pesci.
I feel like any sort of doughy white guy you could just throw in. Insert doughy white guy here, well, and you go, that's the guy.
No, because then Woody could be a part of that, and that is not accurate.
So you're welcome. Just trying to make sure that we, you know, get to the bottom of all issues facing all of us as a society.
Thank you.
And I think discussing a photo on the radio is key.
Right.
To our success, and I think probably the success of our country.
Coming up next, we talk about Mark McGuire and what he looks like now.
We're going through all the 80s sluggers.
Jose Canseco.
90s, I guess. He was in the 90s, sure.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Really? That's amazing.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
They simply couldn't imagine being without each other.
With Woody.
Ah, what the hell is the matter with you?
And Wilcox.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is insanity!
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like.
And now, it's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I've been through this a million times in all my years in the theater. Take a deep breath. Good. Blow it out. Let's just do a good show, okay? Everybody do a good show.
I think I need to bring this up because more than a couple of people have rung in. If you weren't with us during it happened in Florida, we were doing a story. I don't even remember what it was about because I lost track. Once Woody said something to the effect of, yeah, I have a lot of friends who have milk delivered to their door. Something about milkmen in the story that Woody was sharing where milkmen had gone on a rampage and thrown eggs at people's houses. That was the story. You don't need to know the backstory on that, but Chelsea and I both questioned Woody and said, when you say milkman, what are you talking about? Is this a story from the 40s or is this a current story? And Woody's response was sort of nonchalant. Yeah, a lot of people get milk delivered to their door these days.
They do.
I don't think a lot. I think that's part of what I take
more than you would imagine.
With. So I just Googled it, by the way, and found a story that says, and I'm quoting, 50 years ago, which 50 years ago, 1967, 30% of people received their milk from a milkman. 30.
One in three.
Thank you.
In 1967. By 2005, which is the last year that the USDA had numbers for this sort of thing, what do you think the percentage of people receiving milk on their doorstep is?
Zero.
Three.
Three people or 3%?
Three people.
You're probably closest, although Chelsea's not far off with zero either. 0.4% of people in the United States received milk at their doorstep.
But that was in 2005.
There's a creamery in Maryland, for example, that started home delivery in 2001 and had 13 customers. Today, they have 8,500 accounts. That's 8,500 people. Just for those of you that weren't sure what 8,500 means.
So is this some new super uber hipster crunchy thing?
Yes, clearly. The company promises in this case that there'll be no more than 48 hours between the time the cow is milked and the time the bottle arrives on your front step, Chelsea.
My buddies, they say it happens every morning. There's a box on his front porch that's insulated. Dude drives up, drops off the milk, takes the empty bottles, just like, you know, when you're thinking Mayberry, right? That's he's like, it's just, it happens.
Honestly, I don't know how it worked. Even for me, that was too long ago. I never knew how that process
Who's
worked.
Who's going through that much milk?
It doesn't have to be every day. Woody's saying every day, but I think, for example, here it says it's typically 3 times a week, although still a lot of milk. But I guess they're delivering it in small quantities,
mm-hmm.
a thimble full at a time.
Well, pretty soon people will just have cows in their backyards, right? Like, that'll be the really green way to go.
And those are called farms.
Your gift, no, it'll just be in the backyard.
Stinky.
Right. And your gift of a tenth of a cow will somehow seem like a good idea.
Somebody did just tweet that. Who was it? Give them credit.
For those of you who don't know, Woody once gave a tenth of a cow as a Christmas gift to a 16-year-old girl.
Well,
you've got to give more information while that is.
A tenth of a cow was given in her name.
Right. It wasn't like the back leg or anything. It was the perfect gift for a teenager, though.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Woody is a good gift giver. Mm-hmm. I think we all know that.
Yep.
You give the rest of the story or I'm going to get angry.
I don't remember
what
the rest,
is the rest of, the story?
Of the story.
Is
there something that makes that sound better?
She had she was already given a trip to Italy and Gucci luggage. So and you, so you this was.
Buy her a sandwich then, not a cow.
So you wanted to counterbalance
right.
the good stuff.
That's a terrible defense of that.
You're
terrible.
Right. That does make it sound better, Woody. So apparently there are people receiving milk at their doorstep. Mm-hmm. That seems to be. Now, Woody's still calling it a lot of people. I don't know that that's accurate. If you've right. got milk on your doorstep right now, 844-4WW show.
If you're a milkman, I'd like to hear how many deliveries you make per week.
If you're milking a cow right now, 844-4WW.
If you're a cow, 844-4WW show.
If you saw the movie Milk, 844-4WW show. Any of these that are milk related. So, do you feel better or worse now, Chelsea?
I feel
like Woody was somewhat vindicated because apparently there is a burgeoning milk delivery business out there here and there.
Yeah. I feel a little bit better because we didn't just, you know, let it lie there. We dug in as we do.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
There is that argument as well.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, I love to eat. I think if you've been to the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, maybe the blog page, seen my picture, you go, there's a kid who can pack away some snacks.
I don't believe it.
And that is a fact. Although we have had arguments in the past about food labeling.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea is a firm believer because when she goes shopping, she buys the healthy stuff for her family. I try and buy stuff that's good for them,
mm-hmm.
which is ridiculous.
Sure.
They don't eat it, so right. that makes
right.
them feel better.
That's exactly it. But you do, Chelsea, when you're shopping for your family, don't you look for something that says all natural or natural?
Yeah, I like to,
absolutely.
More of the whole food.
Because all natural on labels means absolutely nothing, just like fresh or healthy, or the word organic, it literally means nothing. It's designed to sell you a product. And there is a lawsuit pending against one of the greatest snacks in America right now, the whole grain Cheez-It. Who's with me, right?
Who's with you about what?
One of the greatest snacks out there is the Cheez-Its.
Yeah, Cheez-Its are pretty good.
Oh, I thought you said whole grain Cheez-It.
That is. That's the healthy one, right?
I'm not familiar with the whole grain Cheez-It.
It's available. It's out there along with the baby Swiss mixed with the sharp cheddar or the Tabasco ones, which are quite good. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole grain is coming under fire because there is a class action lawsuit pending because somebody is arguing that the whole grain Cheez-Its are not healthy. Let that run through your mind for a second. Oh my God, I've been buying these and eating them and I'm not getting slimmer. Why am I so rotund? I'm eating whole grain Cheez-Its. It's got whole grain right on the label. I need to get a lawyer. Quoting from the lawsuit, whole grain is false and misleading. And nutritionally no different than other versions of Cheez-Its. I'm like drooling just thinking of Cheez-Its right now. They pointed out in their lawsuit, and they took a picture of the, you know, the little nutritional guideline thing that's got all the calories
yeah.
and how many you should be eating. And they show that they are virtually identical to the original Cheez-Its, including the ingredients, which is has enriched flour, not whole grain flour, mm-hmm. which is different. And so it's time to lawyer up.
But that's already on the box. Like if you just pick up the whole grain and then pick up the regular, you can read those labels on the back. Does no one read labels?
Chelsea, why would I read a label when there's a lawyer right there who's willing to sue on my behalf and your behalf as a God-fearing American who believed that there was a distinct difference between one orange square and another?
So you're telling me somebody had some kale and then they rode through the snack aisle and they're like, whole grain Cheez-Its.
Boom! I live in the greatest country in the world.
Throw the kale in the other aisle. I'm getting now, those.
I hate to rain on your making fun of every American who files a lawsuit thing, uh-huh. but my guess is they're trying in some regard to do a service for the rest of us in that they would like to hold these companies to a higher standard in terms of what they're allowed to say on the box to sort of fool you into thinking something is a little healthier. I'm guessing that most people don't think, my God, I thought these were identical to celery now that it was whole grain Cheez-Its. My guess is someone didn't think that.
You're an idiot. Celery's not made out of grain.
But they thought, you know, here's a company that's tried to change, I'm sure, the color of the box and the look of the picture on the box to make it look healthier.
No.
And in reality, it's not. And
not
so
really.
They're trying to say, hey, you can't do that anymore. Even when you do put the accurate information in the little nutrition panel, you're still misleading people with the rest of it, right? I'm guessing that's what's
sure.
behind it.
But like a lot of other labels that are legal, like the word all natural or light or organic, you can put those labels on there and they are misleading because I think people like us and even Chelsea, who wants to eat healthier and give her family more nutritionally benefiting foods, those words mean nothing.
Well, I think you're going to start with the food, right? Like, you think you're going to feed your family healthier versions of crap food? Is that what most people think?
Yeah, we're Americans, Chelsea. Absolutely, that's what we think. When you eat the healthy Cheez-Its, it's like you're not eating at all.
I got light toaster strudels.
That's exactly
how slim I am.
That's what I'm talking about.
But in general, do you think it changes anything, or is this just somebody looking for money?
This is just somebody looking for money. And eventually, we will all get a coupon, I'm sure, worth a nickel off of our next purchase of a Cheez-It.
So it is a class action?
They are trying to get it to class action status. It has yet to get there. But two different lawsuits, one in California, one in New York, and they're planning on combining so that we can all benefit. Or we all lose as they change the whole grain Cheez-Its.
Chelsea, if you want a little bit more fiber in your diet, just eat your pants.
I will eat my pants.
You'll be better
Who's
off.
Who's eating tuna?
That's all natural.
I do eat tuna.
Pants and tuna. I think you're doing fine.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So you can get in to compete if you'd like on this round of It Happened in Florida at 844-4WW-SHOW. Woody and I are going to share three stories real quick. All of them are true. Could have happened anywhere all over the globe. But one of them happened in Florida. And that's the one that you need to be able to identify to win. Again, 844-4WW-SHOW. And Woody will start off with story number one.
You ever been to a club where the ladies dance around for money, Wilcox? A strip club.
I may have been there a time or two.
And have you ever been to one of those clubs where there is a lady doing her artistry on the main stage and there are people there giving her money and another dancer is going around and collecting the money?
I don't know. I don't think so.
For herself or like in a basket? Well, is she doing her a favor?
I bet that's where Woody's going with this is the answer to that question.
Exactly it. The dancer in story number one went to her car and retrieved a BB gun to confront a second dancer who was, I guess, you know, sort of cleaning up the money while the first dancer was on stage and then there was some disagreement about how much money was given.
So you're telling me two strippers confronted one another with a BB gun in a strip club?
That is correct.
All right. I'm intrigued. How did that end?
It ended with the woman who was on stage and who had a BB gun in her car just in case.
I poked out?
Something like this happened. Nope. Nobody lost an eye.
You ripped these pants you're paying?
Nope.
It's a vacation line. Thank you.
Nothing like that.
Sporting goods, honey.
The stripper is now behind bars. Is it in Florida where she was like, hang on a second. I got to go out to my car and get my BB gun.
She didn't just say something to the woman picking up the dollar bills on the stage. Like, hey, charity, that's my money. Stop it. Like, why? She's like, stop what you're doing. Let me go get my gun. And then I'm going to confront you.
I'm going to need you to do it in the strip club.
I
DJ
can't do
voice.
It like you can.
Gentlemen, let's see some greenery for the scenery. Mercedes on the main stage.
I feel like we're missing information.
All right. Well, I have a theme on my It Happened in Florida stories today. Very much earlier on the show, we had a story about a dude who was arrested for riding an ATV nude on an interstate highway. By the way, for an hour before the cops could stop him. That happened in Kansas City, and we shared that story earlier. Now I need you to tell me what a man was arrested for on a highway in this story.
I need more.
Well, much like the man who was nude riding an ATV, this guy is riding something that...
An ostrich.
You shouldn't be riding on a highway. Let's put it that way. It's not an ostrich.
A tractor.
You're close. No, Woody's much closer with an ostrich.
A llama. Animal?
A llama.
An alpaca.
It is not an alpaca. The man was, it's a little
giraffe.
Bit, it's not as exciting. Now I feel like it's a letdown. The man was riding a horse.
Come on, man.
I wanted a flamingo.
Well, does it make you feel better that he's drunk?
No.
All right. So a
the
drunk,
horse?
The man. Okay, well, I don't know.
If the horse was drunk, then yes.
I don't know if they gave the horse a sobriety
part,
check.
Hardest part is get his lips around the little straw and make the horse blow.
Right. Hard to make the horse walk heel to toe and juggle.
He doesn't know the alphabet backwards.
Nobody does.
So yeah, they didn't make the horse take the sobriety check, but the dude who was riding the horse on this highway did in fact have to.
The officer who has to hold the urine cup for that guy.
No, they don't make you do a urine test on the side of the road.
Oh. I just picture. I got to get something from the horse too.
When it comes to riding on the interstate, the police department encourages you to just say nay.
Oh, no!
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 Are you proud of your work?
I mean, a little.
Are you proud of your work?
A little.
How long did you keep that in your pants?
Stop it. Sorry. Cool beans, grab that.
That's not the expression
so
I wanted.
Was it a highway in Florida where a drunk man was riding a unclear whether the horse was drunk? Horse. Woody's got the third and final.
Third and final story has to do with two people who were arrested after something was found in their backpack.
Horse.
Not, you're closer than you
alpaca.
Right. Flamingo.
Chelsea, you're almost there. Two people arrested after officers find seven chickens in a backpack.
Nope.
No.
Yes.
No. Full size.
Full size chickens. Yes.
Fried.
Police posted on their Facebook page that they had reports of chickens and ducks being stolen from local farms, and so they started patrolling and pulling over suspicious vehicles. They encountered a male and a female in a vehicle, and the vehicle had several chicken feathers throughout and a backpack in the back seat that appeared to be moving. The officer arrested the two individuals and opened the backpack, and there were seven chickens inside.
I don't believe you could fit seven full-size chickens in a backpack.
Chickens appeared to be unharmed. I'm sure after a breathalyzer on the chickens, they were allowed to go.
Nope.
No, there was
urine
nothing
cup.
Like that.
Nope.
Yeah, the urine cup on a chicken.
Nope.
You got to really guess.
Where would you put it?
Nope.
There's only one exit, Chelsea.
All right, don't get into the cloaca.
That's exactly right.
Stop it.
Craig is up first to try and solve our quiz. Oh, Craig, can you figure out which one happened in Florida?
Let's go to story number one.
Story number one, yeah. Daytona Beach, Florida is where strippers and BB guns and collecting cash all go together.
Story number two, Woody, you being a Southern California native, you familiar with Highway 91 in Long Beach?
Oh, God, the 91 freeway is legendary, of course.
Well, that's where the man, intoxicated, was riding his horse down the 91 freeway in Long Beach. By the way, I'll send out this article on Twitter because the CHP, the California Highway Patrol, CHIPS, if you will, sent out a tweet themselves that said the CHP does not horse around with DUI.
Oh, my God.
Yes, they did.
No.
Yes, they did.
You love that kind of BS.
They encourage you. And matter of fact, they demand that you do not ride your horse on the highways in Southern California, drunk or otherwise.
Just say nay.
That's right. They didn't add that, but they should have. If I was tweeting for the CHP, that would have been first.
And in Seekonk, Massachusetts, is where if you steal 7 chickens, you're going to jail.
Seekonk?
Seekonk.
I was looking for my conk stuff, but now I can't.
You see conk,
right?
You eat conk.
A giant.
Giant.
Horse conk.
Horse conk.
But I can't. Oh, wait, here it is.
The giant horse conk.
Yeah.
The big conk is surrounded.
Yeah.
Massive horse conk.
Hey, there's Chelsea.
That's a lot of mollusk.
Yeah.
This is a horse conk.
Yeah.
They are found.
All right.
Whether you're making conk salad or a conk chowder.
Right.
Soak the conk still in the bag.
Right. That's a lot of conk talk.
Conk is delicious.
Yeah, I know it is.
Here we have a conk.
Right. All right.
I remember I would just send you pictures of conk after that.
I do. Yeah.
If you've got a conk picture. Let's
get back to that. That was fun. All right. That's enough conk talk.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We were talking a second ago about a dude who shared info with us about his grandparents being cremated. Grandmother, I guess, just in this case. And yeah, they kept her in the closet in their living room. I guess not intentionally, seems to be the indication. I mean, Chelsea wondered, well, maybe that's what she always wanted. I don't think that was the indication from Lee, or he would have expressed it that way. And he just thought it was funny that his whole life growing up, when they were looking for something, if it was in the closet, Mom would say, oh, it's in the closet next to Grandma. And it was only later that he realized, you know what, that may be interesting and something that's not really normal for most families. And then as you get older, you see it for what it is. Right. You see your parents for what they are and you go, oh, wow, we did that.
844-4WW-SHOW. You can also get through email us off the blog page on the website. Bobby sent me a nice note via email. I learned that my family did something weird and backwards when I was a kid. My very first sleepover at my friend's house, I learned the hard way. We come downstairs and we're about to enjoy some delicious cereal before breakfast. In my family, we always put the milk in the bowl before the cereal. As I do this, pouring myself a bowl of milk and then attempt to pour out some cereal, my friend looks at me as if I had just grown a third eye in the middle of my forehead. Why did you do that? He says. That's how you do it, I say. You put milk in, then you pour the cereal on top. I never felt more ashamed in my life. I felt like everything my parents had told me in my life up until that point was a lie.
But that's not that strange to me. It almost actually makes sense to put the milk in first. I feel like it would keep the cereal a little crunchier for longer. Maybe we've been doing it wrong our entire lives.
Are you really arguing for putting milk in a bowl before the cereal? Do you realize how dumb that is?
Why, Woody?
You could overfill it, not get enough cereal. The milk is not the main course. The cereal is.
You don't know how much milk to put in until you've put cereal in.
That's correct.
And if you put the milk first, it can be too confusing. Now, it would depend on what kind of cereal you're using. If it's a floaty cereal, then it's out. You can't do milk first. If it's a heavy
cereal.
A floaty, you know, usually the ones that aren't so good for you that float. You can't judge how much milk to put in.
The LTMs, lighter than milk cereals.
I feel like you could get the ratio right after you've done it for a while. Like it's you would know.
Impossible. You've got bowl differentials, you know, you're using different bowls and then you don't know where the milk line should go unless you've marked all your bowls with a milk line. How would you know? You know what?
Because
Canada's,
you've done it so
Canada's
many
borders
times.
Are relatively open.
I'm like, two have like no opinions on important things.
Go back to whatever planet you came from because that's where you belong if that's what
Step
you do.
Step out of my office.
Why?
Because you're fired.
He's right.
I'm going to try it tonight.
844-4WW-SHOW, the way that you can get through on the phone.
I think Heather has something in a... Heather, explain what's going on here.
Growing up, we would go to Myrtle Beach every year. I'm from North Carolina, and my parents would only let us take one suitcase because they would pack the trunk full of Sun Drop. And when I got older, I found out it was because they didn't sell Sun Drop in South Carolina, and that was their mixer for all their alcohol.
So they packed the entire car with their favorite mixer?
Yes. And I was like, you know, after I grew up and figured that out, I was like, oh, my God, my parents were terrible.
Only one suitcase. Mama needs her booze.
Yeah. I was, you know, just devastated. Like, my parents were drunk. Oh, my God. I was drunk the entire week.
It's like Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
In the quarters across state lines.
Yeah, that's right. Except
yeah.
That's great.
I don't think there's a Diablo sandwich involved with the Sun Drop.
Great reference. Thank you, Sheriff Buford T. Justice. I happen to have my young son in the car, and I don't want to hear that kind of language. 844-4WW-SHOW. Colin has hit on the weird thing, I think. My stepdad, on occasion, will watch Lord of the Rings and Hobbit movies, pull out all of his replica swords, and cry.
What's weird about that?
I don't care if you're making that up. I don't care what that is. That's funny as hell. He goes on to say, did I mention that also when he watches these movies, he will make, and now he goes to all caps, detailed maps of the fantasy lands in those movies. Red Rum. Red Rum.
Would all that be okay without the crying?
No.
No.
I don't think so. This but coming the crying from a... does really double it up, like exponentially.
I say no, this coming from a Star Wars nerd. Right. No.
Yeah, but you don't get out your little action figures and cry and map out the moons of Endor.
Maybe he's just drunk and he really feels a lot of emotion about hobbits and fantasy lands.
If you're crying over the Hobbit right now, 844-4WW-SHOW. I'm sure we can get a couple hours out of that.
Rudo.
Michelle sent me an email. I started dating my now husband when we were both in high school. I noticed that when I went over to his house one time that the family only had one towel in the bathroom. That's right. His whole family shared a towel. I pointed out that there was a possibility that he was drawing off his face where his mother was drawing off her.
All right.
The look of horror on his face when he looked at me and realized that I was telling the truth.
Did they not have money? Why would you only have one towel? I feel like even the most thrifty of families, right?
Not everybody makes as much money as you, Wilcox, to afford, you know, that four towel cheddar.
But I'm trying to be sensitive to the topic in any way, shape, or form. I feel like there's got to be a reason.
They were just very green.
I assume they wash it. Do they wash it and can't shower until it's been washed? Or do they have a second one that they pull out when the first one's in the laundry and then they just use that one? And if they do have a second one, why aren't they running two towels in rotation?
I don't know.
Your mother's out in the backyard air drying. I'm washing the towel right now.
Come in here and blow on your mom. She needs to dry off and the towel's in the wash.
I feel a little sick to my stomach now. God.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, thanks to everybody who is now questioning a story that I had on It Happened in Florida about a company that will name your baby for a fee. That was not a joke. That was a company based out of New York. This particular company does all sorts of things. They're called Name for Life, My Name for Life. And among other things, for those of you who think that's a joke, how dare you? They do name consulting services. They'll select a baby name for you. They'll tell you the popularity of names. And what they'll do is, it's a, I'm reading from their website, comfortable, proven, step-by-step system for selecting your child's name, beginning with a custom name suggestion and continuing with our exclusive selection tools and exercises in a system that's been perfected over years of working with discerning parents. 7 years, by the way, they've been doing this. This isn't brand new.
Hang on a second. You said proven. How is it proven? Like, you could say, like, hey, our car is the best fuel economy on the road. You can prove that. How can you prove a name as being what? Original?
Satisfaction rating, I guess, by the parents. Kids are probably still too young to ring in on that.
You can have a personal telephone consultation on your baby's name. A warm, friendly, scheduled conversation during which we'll discuss your baby name, likes, dislikes, and dilemmas.
So what? Somebody's on the phone going, John, Joseph, Steve, Ralph.
And like, maybe they're monitoring your heart rate
every time. I'm just going to keep, yes, Andy.
You're asking, what is it? Well, baby name consultation is a wonderful experience and a lasting memory of the weeks and months before parenthood. Parents who'd like a partner throughout the naming process use our guided name selection service. Others can request the custom name suggestions alone.
This is dirty.
Typical consultations start at a few hundred dollars.
This is wrong.
It sounds like a parody, like a satire site. It is legitimate.
I don't doubt that it's legitimate, that it actually exists, but nobody's paying money for this. And if they are, this company needs to be ashamed of itself, because you're taking advantage of a woman when she is hormonally very volatile.
I understand that, but at the same time, I'm sure people are paying money for it. People are so indecisive these days, and they're willing to pay money for a stranger to say, oh, no, everything's okay, I'll handle it for you. It's like the fear of making the wrong decision, which I get. I know plenty of people, it's come down to the actual birth, and then they're torn between two names or fighting with a spouse. But you really want to get a stranger involved when you can just take a quiz on the internet for free?
In an effort to create a different, more noticeable identity for infants, we sometimes forget that we are also naming a school child, a teenager, a young adult,
yes,
a career person. My Name for Life was created to suggest names that make children stand out in a positive way throughout their lives, whether traditional, trendy, uncommon, or completely invented. The name you choose should be spoken with confidence and regarded with admiration. Oh, my. With the freedom to pick almost any name comes great responsibility. How do you choose a name that's unique and dignified? Is the name you're considering too difficult to pronounce? Is it too hard to spell? Uh-huh. Is it too trendy? Is it not special enough?
Sir, thank you for your $75,000. We have put it into the computer, and we have decided to name your child
Harry Balls.
That's right. Harry Balls, the former mayor of Fort Wayne, Indiana. That would have been nipped in the bud had his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Balls, gone to a name consultant like what we've got here.
Your child will succeed when he has this name.
Dick Platter.
Dick Platter was a, I forget who that was, a military guy, I believe, in Anchorage.
Related to Dick Cockwatosh?
No. The first names don't have any relation, Chelsea. It's only last names that mean you're related. I'll tell you about that later.
I thought there was a club of dicks.
All right. You're going down a path we don't need to go down. A club of dicks.
It's the wall of dicks.
And that's famous people named Dick. They're not related.
Yes.
Their first names are Dick.
Right. Okay? Dick Pound.
Think about if Mr. and Mrs. Manus. Parents of Danny Manus had gone to a name consultant, then we wouldn't have had this tragedy.
Manus getting beaten on.
What's the back of the head?
Could be in trouble here, Manus.
But
Manus is relaxed here, Pat. Still riding the back of Manus. Good defense here from Manus.
They're not changing your family name,
right?
Are they?
You just gave me a speech about first names versus last names.
Chelsea, it was an opportunity to play a funny Manus bit. Stay with me, for crying out loud. They would have told you to change your name. You can't go through life named Manus. You can't do it.
Mina.
Thank you, mynameforlife.com. You're doing tremendous work.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
The weird stuff that a kid ate that is not a food item. That's what we've sort of jumped into. Woody was telling the story about watching some kid that he didn't know in public eating a stress ball
just
over the weekend.
Grinding it.
Took one of those blue squeezy balls and just, you know, that whole thing. And so we thought, you know what? It'd probably be good if we, right. That was it.
Actual audio.
Yeah, that was the sound. Or maybe that was the sound. I don't know. So we're taking your calls at 844-4WW-SHOW about the weird stuff that's not food that you or kid that you were supposed to be watching.
In charge of.
Was eating, you know, that sort of thing. Brad says, my youngest daughter likes to suck on markers until all the color is gone from the marker, and then she eats the felt tip.
Oh, my God.
Well, he says markers, so right. That indicates that this has happened a lot.
Is this really?
You're not talking about a one-time deal, Brad. You're talking about this is a thing. I feel like that may be bad for her. He says, then she gets mad when the marker doesn't work. So she may not be a quick learner either, no. Brad, is what you're telling me.
Apple didn't fall far from the tree, Brad. Right?
Brad, I think I feel like there may need to be an intervention with you.
844-4WW-SHOW is how you can get through on the phone. I need to hear Sam has got a story for us. Sam, what's going on? You're on with Woody and Wilcox.
When my brother and sister were like 4 and 6, I went and found them in the basement, and they had gotten tampon applicators out of the trash can in the bathroom, and they were putting them in their mouth and using them as spitball shooters, like spitball guns.
Wait a second, you mean that's not what they're for?
I wasn't, but like maybe 11 or 12, because I'm the oldest, and I was like so scared to go tell my mom, oh my God, like they're playing with these. Because I thought I was going to get in trouble because I was supposed to be watching them. But they had them in their mouth, and I almost threw up. It was so disgusting.
It's awesome.
That's how you get pregnant, right?
It was. I was like, oh, my God. And so we had to end up and take the trash cans out of the bathroom, and then we had to put a lid on the trash can in the kitchen. So, because they would, like, start going to the trash and getting stuff. I'm like, that's not what the trash can is for.
Wow.
I've known dogs that would do that, but never children.
You have to bear-proof your house.
Pretty much. I mean, it just started all of a sudden. Because they're 2 years apart, and all of a sudden it just started. They just started where they would just go start going to the trash and get stuff out. And it just come on, like, overnight.
Yeah, it sounds like it, Sam. Thanks for the call, 844-4WW-SHOW.
I want to hear Jackie.
Jackie.
Good morning.
Jackie, what's your story?
Well, my autistic daughter has a severe pica, and so she eats the most random things. Like, she'll eat gum off of pavement, she'll eat leaves off of trees. But there was this one time when she was about 3 years old, over a month period, she ate the entire backing, like, off of a TV stand. It was all wood, and the back of it was like almost like mulch kind of wood, and she ate the entire thing to where we couldn't even use the stand anymore.
Oh, my God. Did you not know she was doing it until it was almost all eaten?
No, we knew. It's just there wasn't a whole lot of ways to stop her. Like, we put it against the wall, and we did all sorts of things, but we're actually taking her to the doctor this week because we think that she might have a parasite because she's been eating a lot of random things. So we're taking her to the doctor this week, but it's pretty regular that we have to take her to check for parasites. There is no stopping it.
Oh, no. That's got to be tough.
She has a weird obsession with eating random things, but we can't get her to, like, eat real food. So go figure.
Yeah, real food makes her sick.
Yeah. Poisonous.
So you mean she finds something like the back of the TV stand and just has to get at it? Like, you've tried to push it away, you've tried to tell her no. So this isn't like a kid who randomly picks up one thing and tries it and then goes, oh, no. She's seeking that out.
Yes.
Oh. She
has occupational therapy, and they've given her, like, chew toys and stuff like that, and she just won't use them.
Ugh. Have you thought about blue stress balls? Because I hear they're really good.
Apparently they're delicious.
We'll look into that.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that'd be a great idea.
Well, I hope you get it figured out, Jackie.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks for those ringing in on Twitter, like Sam, who says, I once accidentally ate season one of Becker on DVD. I know that doesn't meet the previous guidelines that I just shared about kids only, but that's damn funny. So
I am not having a good time anymore.
Made me laugh out loud.
844-4WW shows how you can get through. Kevin is on the line. He's got a story for us. Kevin, what's your deal, man?
Well, my now 13-year-old son, back when he was three, so he was crawling, walking, being a real pain in my butt 24/7.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
He was upstairs in his room, and we went up there, and he was crunching on something, and it wound up being his nightlight light bulb.
Oh!
Yeah, just, you know, crunching away like it was a piece of candy, and
blood everywhere?
Around his mouth. Yeah, a little on his hands. Happy as can be, though. You know, nothing nothing wrong here, Dad.
And, I mean, does he? I mean, I feel like that would hurt. So, didn't seem to deter him, is what you're saying.
Oh, no. We, you know, we freaked out because he was our first. So, yeah. We never went through anything like this, obviously. And, I got the short straw, so I had to go to the ER with him. He wound up being okay. Everything was great. And then about 2 weeks later, he decided to crunch on another light bulb. That's the last nightlight we ever had in our house. He's been a handful ever since. So,
really?
He's sitting here right next to me. And
so you're saying he's not bright?
Oh, Woody.
That's a light bulb joke.
Oh, Woody.
You are fired. Step into my office.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We're just having a walk down memory lane with comedian Jamie Lasseau about Alaska and radio. I didn't even realize Jamie is one of the stars of Real Rob, which is the Rob Schneider show on Netflix.
If you're not watching it, it's very funny.
It is really funny. And I didn't realize that you had started in radio.
Yeah, I sort of start. By the way, I could talk to you guys for hours. I really could. We just can't, even when we're not on the air, I feel like we're just still.
We'll
talk.
I can we'll pay for you guys to go on a lunch date.
So how did the radio thing come about? And what, I mean, how do you end up being with Rob Schneider in LA doing a show on Netflix and going from radio to do that?
So long story short, I was doing stand-up, and I would go to the different cities and do morning radio like I'm doing with you guys.
Right.
And one of the cities was Rochester, New York, which is where I'm from. I would go in and do the Brother Wheeze morning show. That was the show the
Wheeze,
comics did.
Yeah.
Wheeze, and a legendary, been doing it for a long time. And basically, the comedian that was on previous to me got his own show. And so he was looking for a new sidekick and literally calls me on my cell phone and offers me the job. And like, I just had like a terrible comedy show. In New York, you do a lot of like really, I was living in New York City. You do a lot of like bad shows for money. Can I tell you guys my worst bombing story?
Sure.
Ever? This is related to the story. I'm in New York City, and I had to drive to somewhere in like West Virginia to do this college. And it's the middle of summer, and I'm doing this college tour, and every show is worse than the next. Like, this is terrible rooms and bad sound. And this one, I get there, and the girl in charge meets me at the door, and she goes, "Are you Jamie Lasseau?" And I go, "Yeah." And she goes, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about the show tonight." And I go, "What's wrong?" And she goes, "You're performing in this theater that seats about 500 people. It's a new theater on campus. It's beautiful. It was packed 15 minutes ago. Packed. The air conditioner broke, and it got so hot that in the last half hour, everyone's gone. So there's about 15 people in there, and it was packed. If you could." And I go, "Don't worry. We'll do the show. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it." So I get on stage, and there's literally, it's like this huge thing, and there's no one there, and it's so hot. And she goes, "I'll open up the windows, and we'll get some air in here to like relieve it a little bit." And I go, "That's fine, but we'll, you know, whatever we got to do." And I'm a little sad that it wasn't packed.
Right.
Right.
So I get up on stage. We're in West Virginia. It's late at night. The windows are open. And every time I do a joke and I don't get like a big laugh, I actually hear crickets.
Oh.
That's what I hear. I'm hearing them. And I literally am just like, this is like... This is where crickets came from, like comedians bombing outdoors before comedy clubs were invented. And I swear, like after that show, and I was just like doing like all these gigs I didn't love, and I get this call, and my wife was pregnant, and we were trying to buy a house in New York City, and it's just, ugh, the one I could afford was like, I was going so far north, it was in like Canada. Like by the time I could, right, it was just, mm-hmm, and I get offered a job on morning radio, and he goes, it's like this sidekick job. And I grew up listening to Wheeze. I want to go home, you know, like I want to be near my, and I played it cool, like I'm not sure, you know, I got a Comedy Central half hour coming out, I'm not sure if I want to move, we'll think. And I hang up, I call my wife, I go, "Hey, we're moving to Rochester." I'm taking this job, I don't care what the offer, I'm taking this, I'm doing it. And so I ended up doing 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Rob Schneider stuff, I had started writing for him. He actually was a guest, I met him because he was a guest on our show, and he did a benefit in town, and they asked the radio dude to open, and so I opened, and Oh, dude, it was the best set of my life. I was following an improv group. I feel like if there's comedy in heaven, you get to follow an improv group. they just are dying for prepared material.
Right.
And these guys were like really new. Like they'd only done like five shows. They were like doing nice kids, but just like I went up. I was like, this is the sold out theater after an improv group. And after every joke, this guy's laughing and laughing off stage. And I get off and it's Schneider. Never met him before. And I shake his we cross each other. You know, he's coming on stage. I introduced him. He shakes my hand and he goes, are you going to stay and watch? I go, yeah. He goes, don't go anywhere. I think I have a job for you. Don't go anywhere. Okay. And then he does an hour of material. And afterwards we talk and I end up writing for him, you know, start doing like, he's doing a Stern appearance. I write jokes for him. He's going on late night. I write jokes. And then literally fast forward to the day on radio when I started like not doing what I was supposed to. I'm in contract negotiations and they're trying to push me around. I walk outside the room. I call two people, my wife and Rob Schneider. And I ask him if I can quit, and they both say, yeah, go ahead. You know, and I ended up quitting and working for Rob.
We've met Rob many times.
Have you?
And he's not ever offered any of us a job, as far as I know.
I don't know if you know this. We're not funny.
Oh, okay. Oh. Maybe next time for us.
You do have that clip of
I do. Let's do this.
We teased it last time.
I know. I did. I'm bad at that whole thing.
Teaser.
Maybe Jamie can explain how teasing works for me. Jamie Lissow is here. He's on Real Rob on Netflix.
Let me just real quick explain to the listener. Teasing is like when your wife tells you she'll sleep with you and then you have three children and you don't ever do it again.
Yep. That is correct.
That is correct.
At least you got to do it three times.
I want to play a clip from the show coming up next with Jamie Lissow.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I am really having a blast talking with Jamie Lissow. This is fun, man. I really, and...
You guys are so nice here.
Not really. Real Rob is the show on Netflix with Rob Schneider. And it just picked up for the second season.
Yep.
And the episode where he wants you to get a vasectomy. So if you don't know the show, maybe you can...
It's loosely based on Rob's life.
It is.
Is it?
It's like, there's moments of reality in there. So it's like an exaggerated version of Rob Schneider's life. That's his actual wife in
the
show.
Right.
And his baby. I'm not his assistant. By the way, people take... You see it. I get like beat up a lot. Like you're saying in the vasectomy thing, they make
You play his assistant, right?
Yeah, I play his assistant. And like my mom goes, she watched the show and she's like, it's really funny and everything. She goes, I don't like the way he treats you. I'm like, Ma, Johnny Depp isn't a pirate. Like this is a television show.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why when Woody said it's Rob's life, I'm like, well, it is and it isn't, right? I mean, it's one of those shows that's about a comedian and ha-ha, maybe this is his life, but it's not, obviously, here's his exact life.
This episode where he makes me get a vasectomy so he sees what it's like, we got this from, this was in the news that some, I forgot who it was an actress, a famous actress, had her assistant get a breast job to see what it was like. That's what made us come up with this. We read it. This is like a real story. Someone I'm bad with names, but she wanted to get like a boob job and she wanted to know what the recuperation was like. So she had her assistant get one. Her assistant wanted one.
So in the scene, I want to play a clip from the show because this one, I mean, literally I'm rolling on the floor watching it. So Jamie has to get the vasectomy because Rob wants to know what it's like. And so Rob is filling out the form. You know, you go to a doctor's office and it wants to know your medical history or whatever.
And I'm high. And I've just smoked some weed, so I don't have it all together here.
So here Rob's trying to convince him, and he's starting to fill out the form for Jamie.
Well, this is going to be good. This way I'll know exactly what it's like, and I'll be able to decide if I really want one. Come on, you just relax. I'll fill it out. Okay?
Allergic to antibiotics? No.
I am allergic to antibiotics.
Not all of them. There's a bunch of them. Loose bowels? Hell yeah. Showered recently? Probably not. Okay, here we go. Okay.
When he says, hell yeah.
Oh my God.
Dude. All that describes Woody too.
So in a scene like that, or in that one particular, are you scripting all that out? Is he messing with you? How does that play out?
I don't think any of that was written on any piece of paper anywhere. I think that was all. I feel like that none of those words were. Like we would just go back and forth and say different things and try to make each other laugh.
I felt like I could see a smile creeping onto your face about
2 seconds after he said, hell yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Because I'm like, how would you not laugh at that moment?
Especially if you didn't know it was coming.
Dude, there are moments. I remember, I don't know if you guys saw the whole thing, but there's this thing where I kill his wife's fish.
Mm-hmm.
And he just started like, there's no lines at all that the scene was supposed to end. And he would just be like, you're a fish killer. I was started crying because you don't want to laugh and ruin it. And if you look closely, you can see me like a tear coming because it's so hard not to laugh, dude. It's so funny.
Well, in the other scene too, where he asks you if he would be an attractive gay man or if you'd be attracted to him if he was gay. Mm-hmm. And then you go into a long discussion about what you're looking for in a gay man.
Yeah.
Any of that scripted out?
barely any of it.
Because it was oddly detailed.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think. A couple of them was like, you know, like I want him, you know, like I want him to be like strong, you know, like, but not with like a temper though, where he would end up hurting me. You know, like none of that scripted. Like,
you know, and obviously well endowed, yeah. But not too well endowed.
Right. Yeah,
you know, for obvious reasons.
Where I end up getting hurt. You know. Yeah, none of that was scripted. Yeah.
And at one point, you know, he can't see, but Rob's behind him, and he just walks out of the room, and Jamie's still going on all the things that he's looking for in a gay man. It was very funny.
You probably thought
very
about
funny.
It.
One of my favorite scenes, one of my favorite days was. When I go, Rob wants me to spray paint over this billboard because he did an ad for like male or whatever. It's like you can't get an erection. And so he wants you to spray paint over it because he doesn't want people seeing that or whatever. So I go try to get these gangbangers to spray paint over it for him. And I like walk up to these like four guys that like looked like really tough in real life. Like the cast that we used were like scary guys.
Right.
And I had to walk up and that entire scene, it's my favorite scene because they were just like, we don't really have anything funny here. Just like, walk up and like say whatever you want to them. And I literally stood there for like a half a day just trying to make these like tough Mexican dudes laugh. And I would just be like, man, you know, they were all spray painting. And I'd be like, hey, I don't know. You know, if you know, you guys, your spray painting so beautiful. I don't know if that's a butterfly or the devil's a-hole, but whoever did that one, I mean, that is a really good. And just like you could just make up whatever you wanted. And then you see the final cut and you're like, dude, they use like,
right.
Two of the things I made up.
So you would just run through, and I guess that's probably fairly common, like in a scene, you just run through a bunch of different things that you think, well, this may be funny. And then you go back. Are you guys involved with the editing of that stuff as well? Do you make those decisions? Everything is you guys.
Everything. Rob, really everything. Like we edited for so long that I ended up having to go back and do stand up. So I wasn't there the whole time, but I was there for a lot of it. But Rob made all the final cuts. He literally sat behind the editor for almost every minute of of everything. You need that. The editor is as important as the comedian. Mm-hmm. You've seen a badly edited comedy, and immediately you go, I don't like this. But we have one of like the guys that did a lot of the Sandler, all the great, great Sandler movies. He's amazing, and he did ours.
Well, in a show like that, too, the timing is so critical, not only to your timing as an actor, but the timing of when the scene breaks and when it comes back and that sort of thing. You're
huge.
Right. I mean, the editing on that would be critical.
Yeah, it's wild how many, what you can mess up to ruin how funny a scene is. It's just little things like that. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Does he do radio? Can he edit this show?
He'd have too much to go through just to find one nugget. Not worth his day.
Right. Well, we could probably, you know, a couple more hours.
Can you come back tomorrow?
Yeah. How about tomorrow? Yeah.
I'll totally come back tomorrow.
Okay.
We won't be here. Jamie Lasseau, and you should check him out whenever you have the chance at Jamie Lasseau on Twitter. That's SSOW, by the way, and Real Rob on Netflix.
I don't want people to think all I do is write off the success of Rob Schneider, guys. I want you to know that I have my own projects, too. And if your listeners want to check out my website, it's robschneidersfriend.com. You can go there. Or you can go to adamsandlersfriendsfriend.com.
Hang on, I'm writing that down. Friend.com.
I can't believe that was available.
Right.
Because that could be a lot of people.
I thought for sure if you're like .net or .edu, but no, .com was available.
Thanks, man.
You guys are awesome, man. Thank you. This is like a breath of fresh air. I don't know. You guys are great. I could literally talk to you for hours.
Thanks.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I find it fascinating that in recent years, the subject of maternity leave and now paternity leave, where dads can take time off when there's a child, has become a political hot button issue, right? Here in the United States, Chelsea, how much maternity leave do we get? Do you know?
12 weeks.
12 weeks.
Doesn't have to be paid necessarily.
That's right.
But you have 12 weeks under the FMLA.
100% pay in France for 16 weeks. In Australia, 100% pay for 18 weeks. In Finland, your maternity leave starts 50 days before your due date and continues for 4 months after you give birth. I bring it up because there is a woman who wrote an article demanding something very similar, although she has chosen not to have children. She wants something that she's calling a me-ternity leave. And it's so that she can relax, unwind, and reflect on her life. It's sort of like, maybe you work with people who still smoke. And every day they get like 5 minutes to go outside and they take a smoke break. It would be like you going, hey, I want my 5 minutes. I don't smoke. They get to go take time off of the job and go do this. But she's arguing that since she's not having children, she should be allowed 10 weeks off to reflect on her own life, to relax and unwind. And as I look at Chelsea right now, her head is about to explode. Because as we all know, Chelsea, when you're a new mother and you're sitting there not working, all you're doing is relaxing, unwinding, and reflecting on your life, right?
Well, I'm trying to feel compassion for this woman because she obviously does not know what maternity leave actually is.
She does, as a matter of fact.
She is completely wrong. Maternity leave is not me time. You're not laying back, getting your nails done and massages and
no, you're just basically naps. You're just a cow, right? You're just there to feed things.
It's I can't speak for every woman. I barely remember my maternity leave because it was such a haze. You remember I came back here at least part-time for the show after 5 weeks because apparently no one else could answer the phone.
What are you saying?
But that was actually like a break. It was good, even though you remember me pumping the boobs in the in the prod room.
I was actually Wilcox who was pumping the boobs.
But it was something different, and there were adults. But everything else about my maternity leave was just it's not regular sleep. It's chaos.
Let's not look beyond what is probably the answer here, and she's just scamming to get days off. It's not about whether people understand what maternity leave is about. I think anybody with a brain can sort of figure out that it's not a vacation. Most people are just trying to get extra days off or extra money or whatever it is they can scam their way out of.
Well, I figure that's a terrible way to go about it. And she knows she's going to get some kind of backlash, right? Why not go for the people who, you know, have had knee surgery and have to be on disability for 6 weeks? That would make more sense to her argument than having maternity leave. If she wants to do that, great. Well, then she also gets a newborn.
Stop saying maternity, by the way.
That's
it's just, it I feel makes, that's like staycation. Awful. Stop making up words.
Is she pimping something else and just using this as a platform to get attention?
Yeah, she has a new book.
About that?
About maternity, yes. And about how everyone, men included, who choose not to have children, should be able to have those 10 weeks.
Does she realize she's also going to have to get her body battered in some kind of way? She's not taking into account the fact that you actually have to be pregnant for 9 months, which is difficult in and of itself. And then the actual labor process, a lot of maternity leave, especially for people who have cesarean sections, is built in so your body can recover from it.
There you go. No horse. Come down off your horse.
You are so self-centered, you can't even see how high you are on your horse.
Look at me.
Wow.
I deserve a medal.
No. If she wants to do it once or twice, then she's going to get a newborn. She'll also have a four-year-old who needs her. And if she's like my best friend who's going to have to move in with her mother-in-law for 6 weeks, she gets a mother-in-law too. On top of the sleep deprivation, not remembering if you've eaten and feeding a child all the time.
Again, I feel like this is just trying. I mean, Chelsea hit it when asking if she had something to pump, to pump up, because this is just somebody trying to get attention.
You think so?
Yeah.
But why would you whore yourself out that way just to get attention? Like, you're going to stand behind your statements in a book called Sorry, Wilcox, Meternity? It totally brings into question your character, your intelligence, your humanity, and you're okay to throw all that away so you can get a little bit of fame?
Yes.
Have you seen television today?
That is correct. You've nailed it.
Hello, sex tape culture. Come on. Of course, Chelsea.
I hope she accidentally gets knocked up, has a very difficult pregnancy for her, not the child, and then has a natural birth alone in the woods. Any questions?
How do you really feel, Chelsea? I feel like you're holding back a little bit.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I think we have reached a new dawn of human evolution. And Wilcox, this applies to you, I think, more than anybody else on the show. A company called Temptations Lab has developed what they are calling the world's first cat translator.
Cat translator?
That's right. It's a collar that you would affix around the neck of your cat, like a cat collar, except that it has a microchip in it and a speaker that interprets your cat's meow and translates it into English.
Since the beginning of time, cats have been an enigma. No one really knows what they're thinking.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Studies show they only meow in order to communicate with humans. So we set out on a mission to get to know them better. By analyzing different cat noises, we've designed a digital sensor that detects a cat's meow and uses a unique program to turn it into a human voice. Simply connect to our app and select your cat's new voice.
I'm sleepy. Hello.
So here they are.
The result. The world's first talking cat collar.
This is rather fun.
That's the actual collar speaking right there after the cat meows.
Is that George Takei?
It sounds a little bit like it, but I'm not quite sure. Listen to it again.
This is rather fun.
Oh, no, it sounds like more like Stewie.
Yeah, a little bit more of an English accent there.
So that's not a jokey thing? That's a real thing?
I've looked all over the site. No signs of satire or anything else.
So it really thinks it can translate what your cat is thinking. FU's got to be on there somewhere, right?
I think that's all cats are thinking, Chelsea. I mean, honestly, how many different ways can a cat tell you to go pound sand?
But if you could pick the voice that was used, kind of like the Waze app, that would be really fun. Maybe you could get George Takei in there or Flossie McDicky or whatever her name is.
Really, would you want your cat just to be constantly saying Yogurt Land?
Yes.
No, it's not that he would say Yogurt Land, just have that voice.
Right. But he could say Yogurt Land too. Yes, that would be fun.
It's called the Catterbox, in case you're looking for it. Like Chatterbox, except for cats.
Is it expensive?
They're just getting the ball rolling. There's no financial sort of information or anything else on
I'll have this one.
That's another example. It's a cat where they've lined up a bunch of treats and he's meowing each time he gets one and it says, I'll have this one.
That's the dumbest thing ever. Unless you could get Chris Hansen as the voice.
Lick her all over her body.
Really? You want your cat saying that?
You can imagine your cat saying that, right? Absolutely.
Kapuya!
That would be
fun. That's what they're saying when they're chasing the string.
Kapuya! I just don't imagine your cat walks into the room and he drops the... and then immediately it translates it into something like...
These guys caught a fish!
Oh, so now my voice is on there.
Meow!
Dope man. Yeah, that's me. Dope man. Can I get a hit?
I don't think there's ever been a time when my cat was doing that.
Meow.
I like the smell of it.
I would like my cat to have your voice, Wilcox.
That would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it?
I am tired.
Right. That's all your cat is ever going to say.
There'd be a lot of that, sure.
I lick myself.
There's something funny in your bag.
Right.
Cat would say that a lot, right? Always snooping around your bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Playing the bag tag. I don't like the way it feels on my tongue. Right.
Cat would say that.
I don't like the way it feels on my tongue. Does it just feel smaller because you're bigger?
As soon as it becomes available.
Touch it.
We'll try and get you some free ones that you can win here on the show.
It's not a double gonger.
Right. I'd love my cat to say that, and I don't even have a cat.
I feel like as a woman, I don't want to see strange dong while I'm eating my quesadilla.
Under what circumstances is your cat saying that? I don't believe that your cat would think that at all.
You can let your Griswold hang out.
Thanks to Beer Club Brandon, who says, I want my cat to be voiced by Gordon Ramsay. Hashtag fill my effing bowl.
How big, though? Lick it when it gets dirty.
All right. Well, I feel like that'll be the final step that we need to take.
Right.
As humans, mm-hmm. we will have finally reached the pinnacle
yep.
of wherever it is we're going.
That's it. I got herpes on my face. We're calling this thing off.
Why is your cat saying that?
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right, so comedian Greg Barrett is with us, and it's funny because he's a guy that you could know from so many different places, from the stand-up that he's doing, and that's why he's here with us this morning. But so many people probably know you from the movie and the book. He's a New York Times bestseller, several books, yeah. obviously. Greg was worked on Sex and the City.
Yeah, I was a consultant for the show from season two on.
All right, so are you writing on Sex and the City?
So,
or you literally just sit there and they go, what about this, Greg?
Yes,
and you
that's
go,
exactly right.
Nope, too weird or too gay or whatever.
Mostly, actually, you know, they had a tendency to write men too stereotypically straight. Like a lot of times, like, all right, that guy can, that can cry. I mean, it's all right. You know what I mean? Like, they're... It was just to checks and balances, and also, like, you know, obviously the way people break up, and we'd have fights about stuff, and I would say, well, that's not the way I would do it, and, you know, and then obviously the, you know, the he's just not that into you thing came up during the mm-hmm. during that process, and that's how, you know, that was a male, that's a perfect example of a male point of view of saying, look, the guy doesn't call you, he doesn't like you, otherwise he'd call you, it's really easy.
Yeah.
And that became, you know, a bigger deal than just an episode of the show.
Right. For somebody who doesn't know, he's talking about he's just not that into you became a book that you wrote.
That I wrote.
And then became the movie.
They made it into a movie. Yeah. And it was just a line on the show. And it was actually just a conversation I had with one of the girls at work where she was seeing a guy that wouldn't sleep with her. And then she asked me if that was bad. And after I stared at her for 15 minutes, I was like, yeah, that's not good.
Don't tell him anything about my life.
but hang on. Easily, much more easily said than done, right? I'm not saying this because I'm a genius. I'm saying this because I've made more mistakes than any other person ever has. I'm a total blow it, you know, and I've been dumped and crushed and hurt and all that kind of stuff. So, right. You know, it's not like... It's not like I wrote from the point of view of, man, I'm living awesome. Right. Other people ought to live like old Gregor's here. Because, man, he gets it.
Look at me.
He gets it. I mean,
guy's got it all, man.
When he had a panic attack that Christmas and broke his sobriety by taking the dog's pills and then 3 months later became addicted to them and then showed up in his kitchen one day with a mohawk telling his wife he was going to start a ska band, that guy's got it together. If a 52-year-old man tells you or 50-year-old man tells you he's going to start a ska band, take him immediately to rehab. Something is wrong.
Well, the dog I like pills Scott. Before yeah. that.
The dog pills. Well, what had happened was I had an anxiety attack and I didn't know what it was about. And somebody had walked by. We had an 18-year-old dog, right? If you have an 18-year-old dog, there's good drugs in the house. Trust me, because it's being kept alive on something. And somebody had noticed. I'd had like 17 years of sobriety. Somebody had noticed that the pills were. They were like, oh my god, those are wow. You know, that was all they said. And then it had the sleepy guy face on him. So I was like, oh, that's got to be some sort of an opiate, you know? And then right. It was Christmas and I felt very close to throwing myself in front of a bus. And rather than reach out to my sponsor or call a psychiatrist, I just took a dog pill. I got to tell you, man, that leveled the playing field. It was a nice Christmas. I was like having a sweater for my insides. So as addicts do, they lie to themselves and say that one time was okay. Now I've broken all the rules of my sobriety,
pill.
Right?
It wasn't
and
a
then,
person.
Right, it was a dog pill. And then I got addicted to them, you know, but only in a way of like leveling my depression and anxiety out. They actually have drugs for that, but I decided to prescribe my own.
Self-medication.
I got a PhD in dog pills.
Next thing you know, you're rubbing your butt on the carpet.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got fleas for no reason.
Licking your own genitalia. But,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, you know what, though?
Yeah.
That's a positive side effect.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, that, yeah, no doubt. I made that. Man, these things really do loosen you up. Holy cow. I can really get down there.
And here's something, and I'm not going to say this is a funny story because it's not. It's mildly amusing. But we have a running joke on the show. First of all, I talk about this all the time. I believe that the show Mr. Show was one of the funniest shows ever on TV.
You're not going to get a disagreement from me.
And we have a jokey, long-running thing that we're slowly trying to get everybody who was ever on Mr. Show on our show. And in 10 years, we've had two. So that's kind of where the
Who are they?
Brian Posehn and Marilyn Rice Cubb.
Well, now you've
so
got
we're
three.
Started at the top.
You have three now.
Well, that's what I was getting to. Is
yeah, I'm sorry.
I knew that you were very close with David Cross at one time, maybe still are, and the beginnings of comedy in your life
seemed to
intertwine with a lot of these people that I thought were so fantastic.
Yes, we all started around the same time. I mean, the quick version of it is, a lot of comics moved to San Francisco in the late 80s when the comedy boom sort of was dying. And there were a lot of clubs, and also San Francisco was sort of a bastion for if you were just strange and maybe didn't even have an act, you could go out there and get work.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking about your Brian Posehn's, Patton Oswalt's, Dana Gould was there, Margaret Cho, who was the reason I do comedy because we were an improv group together, and she said you should do stand-up. Maron was there for a little while. A guy named Dan Whitney was there for about 2 weeks and then left and became Larry the Cable Guy. Like a lot of people started there, and then also people would hang out. Cross and Garofalo and Louis, those guys would come out for the competitions. San Francisco competition was a big deal, and then they'd stay for a while. And so we just became this huge, Doug Benson would come up from L.A. Like, we just became this enormous virus that, like, just kept growing and growing. And then the Ben Stiller show happened.
Yes.
And David and Janine moved to L.A., and then Patton said, I'm going to L.A., and that was like, that was it. We all went. We all moved to L.A. basically at the end of the Ben Stiller show, and at the beginning, and then obviously it became Mr. Show. Mr. Show happened out of that.
And I've heard you talk about it. You and Janine were an item at one point, correct?
Yeah. When Janine left Saturday Night Live, she came back and she lived in this house that I lived in, and so we made a relationship out of that. I think I did more than her. That was when I got sober for the first time, and it was after Janine. And that was when she was doing Cats and Dogs, and mm-hmm. she was shooting that movie, and she was sort of becoming a star. And I had a band, not good. And then I moved from that house to a place with David. And David and I lived together during a couple of the seasons of Mr. Show. And I got sober and I didn't have any work. So I catered, and then David would put me on the show so I could pay rent. And then, you know, anyway, he liked me. And, you know, right. And I'm amazing on it. I don't know if you ever seen my Mr. Show. I'm a cop at least four times.
Of course.
So, and a revolutionary soldier. But it was an amazing time.
Well, damn it. Yeah. I wish we could talk for like 3 hours because there's so much to get to. But we can't. So you got to check this guy out when he comes to your town or if he's in your town now. Greg Barrett is fantastic. Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys. Really, this was really a lot of fun. No, yeah. My pleasure. My pleasure.
And so check him out. Follow him at Gregory Barrett. You can spell that. You don't need me to tell you how.
That's right.
On Twitter.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Every day here at the show, we get probably, I would say, in the neighborhood of hundreds of emails. And it's usually from a publicist who's like, hey, would you like to talk to Jim Jabibowitz? He's an economist and he wants to talk about taxes. And you're like, No, we're not going to be talking about like that. And usually I just delete them. One caught my eye yesterday because it was from Disney World. And they wanted somebody to come on and talk about how you can now get married in their theme parks in front of Cinderella's castle. You can have characters as a part of your wedding or take pictures with them afterwards. And $75,000.
That's the more interesting part. It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, we've all heard of people getting married in ridiculous places. It doesn't. I mean, I can imagine. I bet we probably know 30 people right now who would get married at Disney World.
It got me thinking because, you know, maybe you met at the house that Beef built and it's near and dear to your heart. So you get married at Arby's. But it's the places that are now offering actual packages where they're like, hey, here's a menu of items that you can choose from. It's baffling. Colleen, you're on with Woody Wilcox. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just letting you guys know the weirdest place that I recently got married was at a UPS in South Carolina.
At a what now?
A UPS.
A UPS, like the package delivery people.
Yes. In the state of South Carolina, they don't do courthouse weddings, and they have a South Carolina notary at a UPS, and that's how you got to do it.
Is he wearing brown socks?
No, I think I wore sandals, and I think he wore some loafers, so we're good.
So it's not that you had, like, an extreme love for two-day delivery. You just had to find a place with a notary.
hey, look, if it fits, it ships, right?
Right. He loved your box so much that he wanted to get married at the UPS store.
Hey, it works.
Okay, so you do have a bit of a love for UPS then, I right. see. Okay. I'm just maybe trying to slightly. Figure out the motivation.
Did you do anything with his mail slot?
All right.
I'm afraid of meat.
That's on the damn low.
How long ago was this?
This was last Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Congratulations. Did you get a ride in Big Brown?
No, I wish. That would have been awesome.
You guys get a honeymoon at the FedEx store?
I get it, though. You know, you're just trying to get married. You just do what's efficient.
Huh. I didn't realize you couldn't do a courthouse thing in South Carolina.
Yeah, I ran into that.
Yeah, problem. It's the strange rules. And besides, mm-hmm. you know, I can't really afford a $75,000 wedding at Disney World. So,
oh,
you know,
what?
It's such thing with UPS, right?
Step up.
Yes.
That's a crazy number. I mean,
let me ask you this, though. So you got married at the UPS. You must have, once you figured out this is how it's going to work, what were the other options besides the UPS?
Just a South Carolina notary, or we would have had us gotten a license for North Carolina and have, you know, because North Carolina does the courthouse weddings and, like, you can do it all in one day. But we have South Carolina, so it's like, okay, well, this is how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. I see. I just wondered if there were other, you know, stores besides the UPS store.
You can find a notary in different places if you know people. I mean, there could be a notary working at the Arby's. You could go to the library, probably. Right. But
did you also get some keys made after you guys got married?
No, but I'm also not a fan of the beef and cheddar, so no Arby's on that one.
Okay, well.
It's the house that Beef built.
I already got a house of Beef going on. What are you talking about?
All right. Okay. Hey, Colleen, I like the cut of your jib right there. Yes.
You're a little meaty.
I'm awake now.
All right, Colleen. Thank you for the call.
She was compelled to steer her beige battering ram into the house that Beef built.
How about that? That's fascinating. Yeah. I didn't realize that was a thing, and didn't know you could get married at the UPS store.
Yeah, and every state has different rules, so you know you're going to run into obstacles on the East Coast that you don't run into, like in Alaska, necessarily.
Thanks to Tammy, who says, my cousin got married at the Greyhound Hall of Fame. She's talking about the dogs, by the way, not the buses. Either way, though, is fantastic, whether it was dogs or buses.
This is the Greyhound where the one dude cut the other guy's head off. It's in the Hall of Fame now.
Obscure bus reference lost on younger viewers. No, she's talking about the place where the dogs are celebrated, Abilene, Kansas. I don't know. She doesn't specify. Do they have a wedding package? Are there lots of people booking weddings at the Greyhound Hall of Fame? I don't know the answer.
I bet it's a quick wedding because the dogs are fast.
They chase a little rabbit around. Yeah,
there's a little rabbit that brings the rings up to the altar. Somebody get those dogs out of here.
Whoever in the wedding party drops anchor first is the one that'll get married next time out instead of the bouquet throw.
That's the one you bet on,
that's
isn't
right.
it? 844.
Greyhound wedding jokes. I can never get enough of them.
Wow. I can hear our ratings going down.
You can't go lower.
That's right. Tressa, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. Save us. Tell us your story, please.
I actually used to be a guest service manager at a McDonald's in Greenville, North Carolina. And I had a couple who came in to try to reserve our play place one day for their wedding.
Wanted to reserve the play place for their wedding.
Yes, they did. Because we have packages that we offer for kids' birthday parties there, and they were trying to get one for their wedding.
And did they go through with that?
No, I don't know if they went to another fast food place or if they found somewhere else, but the dates they wanted, we already had something reserved.
Why do you think people do that? Because they met there? Because they love...
Everybody loves a ball
McDouble.
Pit.
McDouble.
They really like our dollar menu, maybe?
I just feel like when you go into McDonald's asking to get married there, you have some kind of backstory, right?
I would think so. I would hope so.
I would hope.
But maybe like Woody said, maybe it's just a love of ball pit. I don't think they have a... Do they have a ball pit at the place?
No.
No. They didn't have a ball pit at this playhouse.
I mm-hmm. think that stopped. Do they have ball pits at any of those outdoor play places anymore? I don't think so.
I think there was an issue with stuff getting down in the balls, if I may use that.
It was a cleanliness issue.
Yeah.
Tell me it was a pin monkey down in the balls.
You know,
you never know what's at the bottom of those things.
Well, right. I mean, one kid pukes in there, and then it's full ball replacement because you're not cleaning out all the balls and you don't even realize it's there
right.
for probably 48 hours.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then Johnny's taking a couple of balls home.
You have to have the souvenirs or something.
Balls.
Thank you.
844-4WW-SHOW.
I wonder why they got rid of the ball pit. I didn't think about the contamination factor.
Those ball, you know, the balls start stinking. It's just, they're damp. I mean, it's got to be the most disgusting thing ever, right?
It's kind of a cesspool.
I got a fungus from the balls.
Right.
Stinky, damp balls. Nobody's interested in that.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So with this round of It Happened in Florida that we've got for you right here, Woody and I will share three stories real quick. They're all true. One of them, though, happened in the state of Florida, and that's the one you need to identify. I'm sure you know by now that no matter where stuff happens all over the globe, Florida still continues to crank out the consistency with the strange stuff. So we celebrate that by you spotting that story at 844-4WW-SHOW. And Woody will kick it off with story number one.
We have started a dangerous trend in the world today, and I want it to stop. It started a little while ago with a woman who gave birth on a flight. And remember what the airline did? They're like, guess what? For your child that was born in the air, we've got flights for life, right? Mm-hmm. I bring it up because a woman gave birth at a state fair has been now given lifetime passes to that state fair.
Yeah.
And I feel we're on this dangerous trend where people who are very, very pregnant are going to be going places hoping to have the child there and somehow recoup the rewards for life of the child.
Like, I see.
I went to Chick-fil-A and I want nuggets for life because right. I brought a new child into this world right here on the floor of your restaurant.
Right, yeah.
Although with state fair, you have to imagine, what, deep fried butter sticks and other things like that. What's the lifespan of that? You know, 10, 15 years maybe? I don't know. Is it in Florida where she...
I'm sorry, you insinuating that she would die after a few visits to the fair because of the food? Is that what you're saying?
Have you eaten at a state fair?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Not every day you're eating a butter stick.
Well, when you've got lifetime passes, you can go anytime you want.
Yeah, but the state fair is not year-round. I mean, it's only a few weeks a year.
It does enough damage to kill you pretty quick.
Funny coming from you.
Accurate. Well, I guess who should know, though, right, Charles?
Yeah, thank you.
Story number two has to do with something that we talk about seemingly all the time on the Woody and Wilcox Show, and that is calling 911. Now, partly we talk about it because, A, we're huge fans of the men and women who man the 911 system. It's a tough job. It's an important job. And the flip side is we urge you not to call 911 for dumb reasons. Don't tie up the line when somebody else may have an actual emergency. Well, story number two brings us a questionable situation once again. The woman in story number two called 911 five times in a matter of minutes over a situation she was having at the home. Anyone want to guess what was going on?
Domestic violence.
Trapped in a room by her cat.
Trapped in a room by her cat. We certainly have heard that in the past. That's not what I'm looking for here.
Stuck in a jacket?
Stuck in a jacket. That would never happen. That's ridiculous. The woman in story number two called 911 three times over her clogged toilet and twice because she was, quote, having issues with her TV, end quote.
Well, those are pretty serious.
Look, I'm a big fan of toilets and TVs as much as the next guy, and it used to be the name of our show. However, you should not be calling 911 over a clogged toilet. You should call us, perhaps, so that we can come out, counsel you through that. Was it Florida where the woman thought, yeah, toilet clog, I probably ought to call 911 in this situation. Woody's got the third and final.
I think most of us know that you need to be very careful around livestock, right? Have you ever visited a farm? You're like, wow, this can be a dangerous environment. There's a lot of machinery. There's a lot of animals. There's a lot of weird things that are going on.
Things, yes, around livestock.
Well, not
absolutely.
Everybody knows it. I see your smirk over there, Wilcox, but right. A 25-year-old woman is in the hospital after she began singing to a cow. The cow apparently did not like what she was singing to the cow and ran up and headbutted the woman, causing her head to crack open and blood to spill out of her head. Not so funny now, is it? I know the first thing you're thinking is, what did she sing to the cow?
I wasn't.
She sang the Black Eyed Peas song, My Humps, to the cow.
Nope.
Now, you may want to headbutt the radio just listening to this song right now so you know how the cow feels. All that junk inside your trunk. I'm
going to get you drunk. Get you love drunk off my heart. It's good without the singing.
She was left with the injuries to her face, shoulder, and knees.
Let me just recap. You're telling me a story about a woman who was supposedly singing My Humps to a cow, and the cow headbutted her. That's a story that you're sharing with us right now.
Quote, the cow had a sizable hump, so she began singing the popular rap song to the cow.
Nope.
The unamused beast charged at her, leaving her with bad injuries.
Maybe just didn't like her face. Am I going to bring the black eyed peas into this? Fergie's already had a bad enough week.
Right.
Okay, make it stop.
Let's let Nick have the first crack at this. Nick, all three stories actually happened. Which one went down in Florida, do you think?
Whoa. He's on a tugboat.
Nick?
Story number one.
Story number one, yes. Just a woman who gave birth at the Florida State Fair getting passes for life so that she can go back with her and her family. So I guess a trend, if you're pregnant right now, make sure you give birth somewhere other than the hospital.
Story number two, where the woman called 911 over her clogged toilet and TV issues. Quote, Cedar Falls, Iowa is where that one went down.
And a British woman who was on a little vacation in India sang My Humps to a cow in India. And that's when the cow charged her, headbutted her, and caused the injuries. It happened.
That is a fever dream that you're sharing with us at this point. By the way, the woman in story number two was arrested for making a false report to 911. I'm sure they told her, like we always tell everybody else, the only reason to call 911 is for nuisance birds.
911, what's the location of the emergency?
On top of the Glacier Brew House.
What's going on up there?
What's going on? I just got dive bombed and attacked by two seagulls. It just all over me and my dog, and apparently a lady walking by says they've been up there all week doing that.
Okay.
People attacking people with dogs. Two seagulls.
Why are you calling 911 for this?
Well, what are you guys going to do about it? Don't they do anything about nuisance birds?
No.
Who does that?
Nobody, sir. Walk somewhere else. Goodbye.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, if you just tuned in, unfortunately, you missed the fact that today is National Jelly Bean Day, and you missed the fantastic game that Woody created in honor of that. Secondarily, thanks to Todd, I guess it is, who has rung in. Hey, guys, I heard you celebrating National Jelly Bean Day. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I can't believe you didn't celebrate yesterday. Todd points out that yesterday was the 40th anniversary of the release of Eric Carmen's All By Myself.
All by myself.
Why don't you do this?
I want to be all by myself.
Oh, Jesus.
Anymore.
So apparently Todd has never forgotten that I can sing the hell out of that song and that yesterday...
All by myself
was the 40th anniversary of the release of that song. So, Todd, I appreciate the fact that you want to celebrate that. I think 99% of people don't want to celebrate that. So we're not yesterday or next year on that date or any other time probably going to celebrate the release of the song All By Myself. But thank you for allowing me to share my prowess again on the radio. That's much appreciated.
Speaking of All By Myself, I saw something that I found depressing yesterday. So yesterday I took one of my daughters to her flag football practice. It's right next to a golf course. And as I was just sitting there, you know, watching them play flag football, I watched this one guy playing golf. And I always think of golf as a group activity, right? Even on the professional level, the final day, it's a pairing. It's you and another guy. Typically, when you go out to a golf course on a weekend or something like that, they'll pay you, if you're alone, they'll pair you up with three other guys and send the four of you out there. And it just, I felt bad for the guy as he was sitting there playing his round all by himself.
Brandon is runging on Twitter, at Woody and Wilcox, not Beer Club Brandon, different Brandon. Every year on my birthday, I go golfing by myself. Not because I don't have friends, it's just a me day. No wife, no kids, etc.
Hell yeah.
And that's sad.
I don't think it is sad. Obviously, he loves it. It's his birthday present to
himself. What if he does something miraculous like hit a hole in one? He turns around to, what is he going to high five an oak tree? Yeah, me! Woo!
I think you're in the minority on this one, Woody. I think most people like me time.
So your only reason why you wouldn't like going by yourself is in case you hit a hole in one, you need it to be documented by someone other than a tree that high fives?
Well, you could, forever you will be like, yeah, I hit a hole in one once. Was anybody there? No. It didn't happen then. Go pound sand.
Did so you have, like, have a record pole vault and no one was there to see it?
I see what you're doing there, Chelsea, and I like it.
It was a good attempt. That was horrible. No.
Casey says, I often go to a Mexican restaurant all by myself, but I do often bring the cardboard cutout of the Dos Equis guy over next to me to make it feel like someone's there.
See? See? Even when he's by himself, he wants the world's most interesting man sitting next to him.
There are plenty of activities you can do alone. It's like he's playing handball by himself, although you could.
I know, Chelsea, it's your dream to
be alone.
Rid the entire world of people, but we're social creatures. You just want to be all alone all the time.
What's weirder, a guy golfing by himself or you watching a stranger golf by himself?
Brandon, our buddy, Beer Club Brandon, apparently not only talking about golf, but going to concerts by himself, checking out a band.
Quite a fun venture. If you're going to see somebody that you truly like, it really is a great experience because you don't have to worry about talking with anybody. You don't have to worry about anybody else except yourself and your experience. And it really is good because you can focus on what you're actually there for, not a social event with friends, but to see somebody perform that you really, really want to.
Now, so, Brandon, would you go to a strip club by yourself?
Well, who says I haven't gone to a strip club by myself?
That's what I'm asking that. Have you gone to a strip club by yourself?
Most definitely, because you can focus on the task at hand.
See, but, I feel like that. Have you really done that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what was the guy's name who was up on stage?
Bubbles.
Bubbles.
Bubbles. I'm not a big strip club guy anyway, but I feel like that's especially odd. Because it feels like the only reason is to be social when you go to a place like that. That it's a fun sort of guy activity, ha-ha, you know. I don't know. When you go in solo, I feel like you're the guy in the library with the trench coat.
Sometimes, you know, you have acquaintances that are already there that you go in.
Okay, or, so if you're meeting one of the ladies, that's a different story, you know.
Well, yes, you know, and, you know, sometimes you go in there to, you know, clear your head. You've had a long day, and it's dark in there, so you ain't going to talk to anybody.
That's not your head that you're clearing. I think it's the pipes.
It could be relaxing for a lot of people, and I totally get it. From my strip club experiences, I've seen a lot of guys in there solo. It's not like there's just one creeper there by himself.
Exactly. And, sometimes it's not even for the, you know, the sexual, you know, excitement that a lot of people get into. But again, you know, there's the dark lights, you can have a drink, you can sit over there in the corner and just, you know, mind your own business and stare at a nice rack, you know?
Right.
I'm a loner. I do lots of things. I got people don't understand, you know, a couple ex-girlfriends, they go crazy because I can do everything, go out to events or do many things by myself, and I'm totally fine with that. But it's great because you can't tell on yourself, you know?
I mean, when you have a mangarita in your hand, are you really alone?
No, that's no. That's a good point. Uh-huh. Thanks to Josh ringing in on Twitter at Woody and Wilcox. Does Chelsea prefer to go it alone when spreading them in a beautiful park? That's a good question, Josh.
I take them out, I guess, out to some beautiful park or something and spread them.
Chelsea, you go alone when you spread them in the park or no?
Am I spreading ashes or something else?
I don't know. You know what? You can answer it however you'd like.
Hmm.
It's completely up to you. Apparently, she's going to take the fifth on that one, Josh, but maybe you invite her out to a park and she'll spread them. I don't know.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, I did it again last night. Opened up probably one too many beers, sat down in front of my computer, and fell into a wormhole that is YouTube.
You know, when you're clicking through on YouTube and you watch a video and it's like, hey, along the side, you may want to look at this. And then two or three clicks in, you're like, how the hell did I get here?
Now, I remember last time you went through this, down this path is when we discovered giant horse Kong.
Right.
That's what happened last time.
Yes.
So I assume you're very careful when you go down that.
The giant horse Kong.
Right.
Right.
You found a sort of a Discovery Channel video about the giant horse Kong.
For whatever
That's
reason.
That's a lot of mollusk.
I enjoy watching pet or animal videos on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
While I didn't find one about horse conks, right. I did find one about a possum massage.
About a what now?
Opossum massage.
Why are you saying it weird?
Because that's the way they spelled it.
A possum massage?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Hello. We're here today to learn how to give your opossum a proper massage.
That's the video starting that you can see now on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. And it's an 8-minute video where a woman shows you how to rub your possum.
Euphemism, obviously, for something?
No, in front of her is North America's only marsupial, a live possum. That is getting the rub down.
If you've been concerned about your opossum's flexibility and structural well-being, it's time to learn about proper opossum massage.
Are you worried about your opossum's elasticity and flexibility? Because she's about to dive into this, and as I'm watching this, I'm drinking a beer. My eyes are wide. I am locked in on this woman. She's about to lube up both of her hands and dive into this opossum and give it the rub of its lifetime.
Here we have a senior opossum. It's only natural that she's lost some of her youthful elasticity and spring, some opossums are known for.
What in the hell is going on?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
You maybe have seen one of these things in your backyard. Perhaps you've seen one semi-flattened along the side of the road. Have you ever seen one on an ironing board getting a massage? Because you can right now on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page.
I can really live now.
That's why, along with regular massage, she gets a daily supplement of glucosamine and chondroitin with MSN.
She's talking about the nutrients that she gives her possum.
Have we established why she has a possum? Because the only ones I've ever met have been huge a-holes.
She does dive into that, and she says something about, like, if you see one in the wild, leave it in the wild. And
thanks for the tip.
But no, she does not explain why she has one.
The vast majority of opossums belong outside. If you see one there, leave it there. If you come across an injured or orphaned opossum, contact a professional wildlife rehabilitator immediately. If, after all this, you're still left with an opossum, stretch the animal out on a table. Here we're using a handy ironing board with a soft, fleecy cover, so as not to snag one of these delicate little toenails.
Let me point out why the internet is the greatest place ever. Because in the time that you've been playing that clip, Beer Club Brandon has now tweeted at us a picture of a possum smoking a cigarette and drinking. And it says, just got the massage. It was great.
What about Kyle, who said, this is a real thing. I know someone who has rescued a possum and had to go through these measures. And
really,
to Casey, who says, if you're massaging your opossum, 844-4WW-SHOW.
Let me guess. The possum was stuck in its jacket and you had to give him a massage to get out of it. Is that what's happening here?
Got its
here?
Massage and watched some Becker, all you a-holes.
All right. I'm going to begin moistening my hands with an unscented lotion. Mm. And this is because you may have an opossum with a sensitivity to environmental allergens.
All right. That, I've heard
it. It goes on for another 7 minutes.
Wow. I hope tomorrow I find out how I can massage my raccoon.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I hope you will, too.
Yes.
Maybe shoot a little video of that as well.
Dallin on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. She's on drugs. The only explanation, or she's from Canada.
I don't know how.
Canadians like to massage marsupials?
Casey's wondering on Twitter, at Woody and Wilcox, why they wouldn't play music while massaging the possum. I mean, most times you get a massage, there's some sort of at least...
Yeah, that's like a
ethereal, relaxing music in the back. He's wondering maybe for the possum massage, it might be... Well done, Casey.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I will never get behind the Careless Whisper.
Ah, but imagine a possum being massaged to that song, Chelsea. Now, how much better does it seem in your mind's eye?
It's like 100% better.
Right, exactly.
Apparently, there's a ton of videos online where you can see various animals being rubbed.
Right. You know what? I feel like...
Is this the first time you've eaten beaver?
All right. Thank you. I'm surprised no beaver massage comments. I think somebody's losing a step.
Because if you Google rub the beaver, I think there's a lot of videos you don't want to see.
But I expected the commentary to flow in via the
social
media. Too
easy. Too easy.
This is my first beaver.
Too easy is what you said.
I'd like to see
this. That phrase has never been uttered about us or anyone who's listening to the show.
I'd like to Google that and find the kid from Leave It to Beaver getting a massage. Is that possible?
Jerry Mathers?
Is that who it is?
Does anybody have any videos of Jerry Mathers being massaged? He may not be with us any longer. I'm not sure what
Doesn't
his story
matter.
Is.
Doesn't matter.
What about Lumpy from Leave It to Beaver? Anybody got any videos of that guy being massaged?
Lumpy?
How about Boner from Growing Pains?
Lumpy was one of the characters.
You want a boner massage? Is that what you want, Chelsea?
Chelsea, I feel like you may be asking for things that you really have no idea about.
And now, Larry King says the word boner.
Kirk Cameron played Mike Seaver on Growing Pains. Andrew Koenig was his pal, Boner.
That was Larry King saying the word boner.
Yeah.
Boner.
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 All right. You happy, Chelsea?
Yes.
That's what happens.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We've all been to weddings, and if you're really lucky, you've been involved in a wedding, right? I remember after my wife and I got married, there was a summer that we had 9 weddings that we were involved in. 9.
I don't have that many friends.
Well, it's because nobody likes you, Chelsea, but people do like me.
That seems very hard to believe.
You may be right. I bring it up because... a friend of mine posted on Facebook recently that she ended up being that girl at a friend's wedding. And it happened to be on the dance floor is where it went down. When a certain young MC was blasting through the speakers, she was out on the dance floor with her husband, busting a move, and she had had one too many beverages. Fell over and cracked her wrist. Now, I know about it because she posted pictures of her arm in a cast on Facebook. And I'm like, what? How do you go to a wedding and then end up at the ER?
Really?
I think that's pretty evident. I can't imagine that this is an isolated incident.
And in her defense... Anytime you hear young MC, you A, have to dance, and B, may get injured, whether you're drunk or not.
Right.
You think you're sober, you're still going to bust your arm to bust a move?
Busting a move, anything could happen.
I think that's one of the reasons why you don't hear much about young MC these days.
Lawsuits.
There was just a rash of people breaking their wrists. And eventually it was like, all right, dude, you got to hang it up or we're going to start charging you with a crime. Right. Once there's the reference to come over here, fine fellow, you're going to get injured. That's just a given, I think.
So somebody right now is actually falling down and we could get sued? Is that what you're saying?
If there was anybody listening, someone would have broken their wrist already.
Yes. But I feel like that's better and it makes more sense than like ending up waking up in the bushes in front of the hotel.
But have you ever injured yourself at a wedding? And it doesn't need to be, by the way, it doesn't need to be dance floor, doesn't have to be young MC related, okay? Could be your own wedding, as a matter of fact. 844-4WW-SHOW. If you got a story, I'd love to hear it.
So Brandon seems to be indicating that maybe he injured himself violently hip thrusting at his buddy's wedding.
That doesn't surprise me.
Does that mean while you're dancing, Brandon, or was or what?
I believe the term is air humping.
Was it air humping, or was it, you know, was there some...
Young MC playing. Maybe Tone Loc.
Tone Loc.
You heard the Alex from Stroh's reference and you immediately pulled a hip. 844-4WW-SHOW. Listen to the song. There's a guy out there nodding right there. Alex from Stroh's. I get it.
Looks like Mike is on the line. He's got something for us. Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
So, Mike, you're a wedding DJ?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you get to see a lot of that crazy stuff going on.
What's some of the weirdest stuff you've seen? Have you seen some injuries?
We have. I've seen we had a father that used to be a contractor back in his day. He decided to build a platform for his dance floor.
Okay.
And, alcohol gets involved and heights just aren't a great thing to put together. So we see
how high was this thing off the ground?
It was like a good 18 inches, you know, off a slope of the backyard.
Okay. All right. So you're in a backyard.
And like great Aunt Ethel or whoever, you know, she's busting a move and she slips off the side and busts her ankle. I mean, bad. And ambulance comes, no one even cares. Like, of course mom's over there with her, but
no,
the bride and groom, they're like still in the photo booth doing keg stands. It's crazy.
I like the fact that nobody cares.
Right. Grandma broke her ankle.
No one even was over there. Like, the whole party just shifted to the other side of the dance floor to like give her some space, and that was it.
So, Mike, are you on the mic at that point saying, like, attention, everybody, Aunt Ethel has just rolled off the dance floor. Please give her a little space. I mean, do you have to call that out? Does somebody know?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody call 911.
As soon as they did it, obviously, the mom started to call 911. So we kind of just, all right, it's my job to keep the party going. So, all right, let's get everybody over here. We're going to change it up a little bit. And definitely we just rolled right along.
Right.
It's funny that you still have to feel like you got to keep it rolling, man. We're not going to let Aunt Ethel's dying off the dance floor. Right. Slow this thing down.
Be fine.
Yeah. Well, that's good times.
That's awesome. Mike, we appreciate the call.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yep. 844-4WW shows how you can get through. Looks like Haley has something for us. Haley, what's your story?
So I got married in June of 2013 on a very hot evening up in New York.
Okay.
And one of our groomsmen had a little bit too much to drink. And we were about 5 minutes away from saying I do. Had gone through the entire ceremony pretty much, just waiting to exchange the rings and kiss to make it official. And he proceeded to pass out at the altar, and the officiant stopped, said, you know, do you guys want to take a short break? And I looked at her and said, no, just bury us already. And we said I do while he was being held up by two of the other groomsmen. and then about 10 minutes into cocktail hour, which was, you know, maybe 5 minutes after we walked back down the aisle, my husband's uncle had a seizure, and then one of our family friends had a panic attack seeing all of this unfold.
Wow.
So needless to say, 3 ambulances and a fire truck within 20 minutes of us saying I do.
3 ambulances?
Wow.
Well, the guy who passed out, the stroke and...
Not the stroke, seizure.
Sorry, the seizure and the panic attack.
A week before we got married, a friend of mine got married and a groomsman passed out at her altar too. And I was like, that's crazy. I can't believe that just happened. And then sure enough, a week later, it happened to us also.
Not same guy.
That dude's just not good at weddings.
I think the moral of the story is that the groomsmen need to watch what they're drinking prior to all their buddies getting married.
That's why you need to get Hydrate Medical over to your wedding party.
Yes, that's right.
Get them hydrated.
My cousin, who's one of the top gastroenterologists in the state of Maryland, came up for the wedding, was like, I'm going to take a week off from work, and he ended up working for the first hour and a half of our wedding, saving everyone.
Giving everybody colonoscopies.
Stand back, I'm a doctor. No, don't do that. He only passed out. Yes.
But that'll wake him up.
Get your finger out of there.
Oh, my.
I'm taking this man to Yogurt Land.
I don't think he would have said that.
Yogurt Land.
I'm not a gastroenterologist. I don't know what they say.
We will boldly go to Yogurt
Yogurt's
Land.
Good for your tummy.
Forcibly take someone to Yogurt Land.
I'm going to forcibly take you to Yogurt Land. I'm a gastroenterologist.
We will boldly go to Yogurt Land.
I don't think that makes any sense.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.